Welcome back to another edition of This Is Why We Drink. I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Richard.
And what are we drinking today?
Today, we are being joined by our guest.
Are we going to introduce the guest first?
Yes, we'll introduce the guest first. Too bad.
But I wanted to drink.
Dude, by all means, drink. I'm not stopping you for
drinking. No. Introduce the guest. Go ahead.
Today, we have Brittany from the local Rocky Horror Shadowcast group. Charming Underclothes. You can't nod on the radio.
I know. But yes, the Shadowcast has been strictly Mysticon, but now we are a monthly gig.
Woo! And we'll get into that here in a minute. Yep. Now we can talk about what we're drinking.
What we're drinking?
Yes.
Oh, it's the part where we start doing the drinking?
Actually, we will start drinking. You will give us a 5-minute dissertation on your alcohol in general.
No, I'm not going to give you a 5-minute dissertation on the alcohol.
It's going to be 10.
10.
Yeah.
Thomas
yeah,
is going to give
you. Got a stopwatch.
Thomas is going to give you some math problems. You have to do the math problems. Then you can drink.
Well, 2 plus 2 is 4, and 4 plus 4 is 8. I hope that satisfies the math problems question. So what are you drinking?
After all the pitching, we're going to start with me?
Yeah.
Okay, I am drinking Hell or High Watermelon by 21st Amendment Brewery. It is a watermelon wheat beer.
Where is it from?
21st Amendment Brewery.
Yeah, where's the brewery?
The brewery? I don't know. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
It's on the table now.
It's alcohol abuse.
Lick it off the table.
It is good. It is a wheat beer with a kind of watermelon aftertaste.
You still never answered where it's from.
I'm not. I tried to, and I spilled beer on the table.
Let me help you out.
I'm done trying to find where the brewery is.
Okay, the brewery is brewed and canned by. Oh, it's California.
California. There you go.
It's going to be a shame when that falls into the sea.
Uh-huh.
Well, look, we've alienated Texas, we might as well alienate California and Florida, but we'll alienate Florida later. I am drinking The Great Return by Hardywood, and it's a West Coast style India Pale Ale from just up the road here, the James River. Oh, wait, no, it's out of Richmond.
Good job.
Whatever, it's still on the James River, which is just up the road from here.
Yes, yet another IPA. How does that stack up?
It's always good.
Always good?
Mm-hmm.
No slight watermelon aftertaste for that one?
No, it has some hints of I really don't care.
Ah, the best kind.
And Brittany, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Bold Rock Hard Cider. It says Virginia Apple. I don't know where the brewery is on this. So, yeah.
Bold Rock, not Bold Rock.
Yeah, I'm going to assume it's Bold Rock.
I think it's up near Charlottesville.
It says it's in Virginia. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's near Charlottesville.
So, yeah, that's where it is.
There's a whole corridor along one of the highways up there, and it's nothing but breweries.
Yeah, I think you were saying something. You were talking about what, Appomattox earlier.
Well, or it's Allegheny. Going north of Lynchburg. Like, if you were trying to get to Interstate 64 off of US 29 before you got to Charlottesville, there's this road where I think there's like a resort or something on it. But everything else on there are farms that have been converted to breweries.
Okay.
Like Devil's Backbone, I think Bold Rock's up there. It's a whole bunch of different ones. And every time I drive past there, I'm just like, you know, this encourages DUIs. How are you going to string that many breweries together and not expect people to stop in and sample?
There was a thing, I just saw it, it was a Facebook thing or a Yahoo thing. It was Chrysler or someone just did this video for their self-automated or self-driving cars
mm-hmm.
things. Like, oh, yeah, it's going to be this luxury. It was a luxury car maker, so I can't remember who it was. Anyway, and they're like, oh, not available till 2046. I was like, damn it. I want to get drunk and then have the car drive me home now.
Well, you already have that. It's called Uber.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it already exists.
I know, but it's so much cooler when it's your car.
No.
Like, I'm drunk. Take me home, car.
No.
No, because then if you, like, barf in your car, then you got to clean it up when you're sober.
And that's never fun.
I don't want to barf in someone else's car, though.
Look at then you don't have to clean it up.
But you get car sick being in the back of anybody else's car. How is that going to help you when the car is driving?
I think it ignores it when I'm drunk.
You know, every person... See, that's the thing about these self-driving cars. Every person who gets motion sick when someone else drives, now the car's driving itself for you, and you're just going to be constantly motion sick in your car.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, see, technology hasn't quite figured that problem out. So, all right, we do have a guest, and she's going to tell us about this Rocky Horror Picture Show Shadowcast.
Yes, for those of you who are not familiar with Rocky Horror Shadowcast, it is...
That would be me.
It is... Okay, well, it is a group that will... And I'll let Brittany get into a little bit more. It is a group that acts along with a showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. For those who are not familiar with the Rocky Horror Picture Show, it is a 1975 British-American musical horror comedy that has gained an almost, I guess, cult following. But I don't know if that's really the word. It's gotten fairly popular.
It is a cult following.
Well, Fox is doing the TV show now, so I think it's come at least a little more mainstream.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, because I'm like a purist and everything. I love the fact that...
I'm not really excited about it. I think they said Tim Curry is going to be involved. But
yeah, he's supposed to be the criminologist, which is kind of like the narrator.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, they're remaking Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah. And I don't really know. I'm not really... It's on Fox. I'm like, hey...
All right, everybody involved with this needs to take a gun, put it into their mouth, and pull the trigger, thus liberating the brain from their skull. Because why would you make a classic, or why would you remake a classic like Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I think it's just to get the younger generation.
Fuck them.
I agree.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, stop remaking good stuff.
When you said Tolls of Madness?
Yes, Tolls of Madness is our sister cast in Blacksburg.
When they came down, we haven't gotten to the shadow cast stuff. I'm already talking about the shadow cast stuff. Let's put a pin in that for a minute. Rocky Horror Picture Show. If you haven't seen it, it stars Tim Curry, which we just said. Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick were the three main actors of that movie. The story centers on a young engaged couple whose car breaks down in the rain near a castle where they seek a telephone to call for help. The castle is occupied by strangers in elaborate costumes celebrating an annual convention. They discover the head of the house is Frank Inferter, an apparent mad scientist who is actually an alien transvestite who creates a living man in his laboratory. That's a fairly apt description of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I just want to point out that Susan Sarandon, for years, either ignored or outright just said she was not a part of this film.
This was her very first role. Like, this was her breakout role. And she was so embarrassed by it because she had to be, like, in these ridiculously scantily clad costumes while having pneumonia at the same time.
Well, I would just like to point out that Susan Sarandon is not unused to scantily clad costumes in the 1970s and early 1980s. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a thing for her.
This was like her very first.
Very first. Yeah.
So she was kind of like innocent, I guess, a way.
Right.
Well, it took her years to come back and be like, oh yeah, I did this. But for the longest time, she was like, I was not a part of that.
Because of the money.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess, too, if it's your first movie, you might be, especially if you don't expect it to be. It's like Cary Byron will talk about, or has talked about how, like, when she did the butt episode of Mythbusters where they had to make like a copy or something of her butt for one of the myths. She's like, ah, it's just a small, you know, small TV show on cable. No one will see it. And she's like, now, like, when you Google me, like, that's one of the first things that pops up. So, you know, she probably didn't expect it to really get that level of attention sort of thing. So,
Mythbusters.
Shadow casting is like a troupe of, I guess, actors?
Yeah.
Generally, they're people that just kind of come along and do it as a hobby or something, I think.
Yeah, correct? It's a hobby. It almost becomes a lifestyle as well, the longer you're in it. I've only been doing it for a little over a year, but I've been in a ridiculous amount of shows because I used to do it up north in, like, Fairfax, and we had a show every week.
Right.
And I don't know how many shows I did for that. It was ridiculous. Every Saturday night at midnight, I would be in Fairfax where... That was like an hour away from my actual house. So I made the trip out there, sometimes directly after work. So I smelled like coffee. Yay!
Yay! We were trying to explain shadow casting to Phil. So basically it's a group of people that act along with the movie. But they also get the audience and the crowd involved. Like we were saying before the show they had last year here, they had a couple of games where they had two random strangers come up on stage and switch clothes behind these sheets.
Virgin games.
Yes.
They're the best.
That was the thing I meant to say. Yeah, you were talking about getting the younger culture involved. One of the rituals of going to a Rocky Horror shadow cast is if you've never been before, you're supposed to write a V on your forehead, proving that you are a virgin.
In red lipstick.
In red lipstick, yes.
It's gotta be red lipstick.
And
why not purple?
Because red. Because the lips are red. Frank's lips are red.
Yes, Dr. Frankenfurter's lips are red. So at the right before the show starts, all the virgins have to get up and they have to get spanked. That's just part of the ritual of going to your first shadow cast.
Or other things. It just depends on the cast.
Okay, see, I had the first couple of shows I've gone to, it's always been the virgins get spanked.
My virgin game was I had to fuck a balloon animal.
Right.
And I think mine was like a sheep.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry.
But there's others, you know, the cherry pop where they just make a loud noise and that pops your cherry. There's the switching of the clothes and see who can does it fastest. But I think what every cast does is they get the virgins to basically fake orgasm.
Okay.
And that's always awkward.
No, I think they did have that. Yeah. It was one of the other games they had up on stage when they came down. Because they had two or three, so I had to try to remember what games they were.
Yeah, sometimes they'll make you scream out your dad's name.
Right. So that's funny. Yeah, that's what it was. It was your dad's name. Because it was really hilarious because there was like five or six guys up there.
Okay, that's just terrible.
Going back to when they came and they did the spanking thing, like, okay, all the virgins get up. And like three quarters of the people got up. And it was hilarious because they usually do these shows at like auditoriums or things.
Movie theaters. Places where you have a lot of space.
Right. So basically they were lining the walls at the movie theater and they kind of just ran around with the paddle or whatever it was and just spanked all of them at once because it was like, holy crap, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So to a certain extent, that's good because you're getting, again, I don't think they hadn't been here for a couple of years, so I didn't think it would have been that many people that hadn't seen or been to a shadow cast. But apparently somehow there was a lot of younger kids that went there. So I don't think maybe hit up Roanoke College or something really heavy or what. But.
I know it's like Virginia Tech for Blacksburg is a big deal. But yeah, Roanoke College as well.
And that's part of the whole culture and that whole experience, I think, is the whole part of the thing. And so the movie in itself is just a weird, odd movie. I tried to show it when I went to Jefferson. I tried to, like, we were trying to get something, like a fundraiser going together. I was like, oh yeah, well, we'll do Rocky Horror and like people will come and we'll have a lot of fun. Like, no one showed up. So we just did, it was just the five of us watching this movie and like, people are like, what the hell are you showing us? I'm like, yeah, like you really kind of have to have that kind of atmosphere to really appreciate that movie.
Were you drinking?
No, I was not drinking.
Well, it was your first problem.
Right. Yeah, if you're just watching the movie, you need to be fairly
three
wasted.
Sheets to the wind. Right. I mean, the first time I watched it, it was pretty three sheets to the wind. It was like, oh, there, that joke makes more sense now. Because, you know, growing up when we did, sometimes people would make jokes about the Rocky Horror Picture Show, like, oh no, not Meatloaf again.
Right.
And that really didn't, like, you didn't really understand that until you watched the movie, and then I was like, oh, so,
I mean, that's true. I say it as alcohol lowers your inhibitions. And if there's any movie that's about lowering your inhibitions, it's probably Rocky Horror Picture Show. So I would say that probably alcohol is probably key.
But also, you do need those callbacks because they just make the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious.
So, if you, our guests, listeners, if you ever see a chance to go to a Shadowcast, I would highly recommend it. It has always been a lot of fun. I've gone several times. You've been in many, many shows, apparently.
Yeah, and I've actually spent one summer just going to a Rocky Horror Shadowcast. I think I went about 30 times.
Yeah. And like I said, if we had, when we got out of that show last year, we were so like, oh my God, that was so much fun. Like, you know, they're going to be doing it in Blacksburg like next week or something. We should totally go. And then it fell apart sort of thing. But it's just one of those things where it's a lot of fun to go and do. Like, and again, within that atmosphere of the group. Or the Shadowcast.
I really feel like if we're going to go do this, we need to pregame heavily before we hit the before we hit the show. Because I'm not saying you want to get to the blackout portion, but you want to be well lubricated.
If we go, we should see if we should drag Lauren down too.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Simply because the kind of, I guess, caveat, not necessarily, I guess it was a spoken rule, but the caveat to going to Rocky Horror is the dress attire. Stereotypically, you will see the men dressing in drag. I, for instance, wore a camisole and a slip, like a slip skirt, to my first showing with a bunch of face makeup and I think fishnet stockings. I put boxers on eventually because we realized that you could sleep through the slip. Which was good. Before we left the house, we realized that...
Richard's just out there, flashing everybody in the crowd.
Why is everyone staring at me?
Wait a second, I've been to Mardi Gras with you. I've seen what happens when you get well lubricated inside the...
I don't know what
everybody wants to see.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
I'm just saying, somebody came home with a lot of beads.
Impressive.
I see no beads. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait a second. No, for the longest time, you
I had them on display. They're yeah. somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, what did you do with them all?
I think they're on my closet bedroom closet door.
Which is conversely the same trip where I was no longer allowed to drink tequila after the almost bar fight in the Irish bar.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
So, we kind of got the train of the thought there. You are, as I said, Brittany, you are involved with the group Charming Underclothes here in Roanoke. So it is the Roanoke Rocky
yes,
Horror Shadowcast
group.
Yes, this is
the Roanoke Rocky Horror Picture Show Shadowcast. It originally started at Mysticon, and we were just going to do it, like, once a year for the con.
For people that don't know, Mysticon is the local, I guess, anime sci-fi geek convention here in Roanoke.
And after that show, we had people coming up to us and saying, you know, we want you for our other con. And we're like, well, why don't we make this a legit thing? And we now are at Schooner's and we do a monthly show, which our next show is going to be July 23rd.
July 23rd. And you guys do them at, I think it's 10 p.m., correct? No, 12 p.m.
No, our show starts at 11.
11 p.m.
But if you get there early enough, you can see, like, a cabaret, and you pay $10 for the entire night.
True, and again, fair enough. You can pregame and get good and lubricated up for the show.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about the underwear run.
Oh, yeah.
That is one thing that I will do before I die. I will do the underwear run.
We don't do that because it is a bar, and there's really no place you can really run around.
If you want to go run around in your underwear,
go for it.
We
can
take you.
People throw garbage at me if I go around outside and run around.
It'll be hilarious. Come on.
Sorry, go ahead.
But Tolls of Madness, they do the underwear run, and they've got the space for it.
They did it.
Huh? Where's Tolls of Madness?
They did it in the Grandin Theater.
In Grandin Theater.
So like I told you, for those that are unaware, at some point, and like I said, there's some point, you might remember when exactly it is. Go ahead.
I think they do it every Halloween.
Oh, sorry, when is the part in the movie?
Oh.
They're running around in their underwear. I can't remember exactly where it is.
That is...
It's okay.
Yeah, I was like, I can't think of it. I was like,
there's some part in the movie where the characters are running around in their underwear. So basically, a few minutes beforehand, they'll announce, like, okay, the underwear run's coming up. And everyone that wants to do it gets up and goes to the lobby and strips in the lobby. And then does, I think, like, 3 laps through the movie theater in their underwear.
Now I remember. It's at the song Hot Patootie.
Okay.
Where Eddie's driving around in his motorcycle.
Yeah. Okay.
I just had to think about it.
So, and again, if you ever want to run around in your underwear with a bunch of strangers in front of a bunch of other strangers and have it socially acceptable, go see Rocky Horror Shadow. And again, it was kind of one of those things probably along the lines of doing like that Naked Mile sort of thing where people run in their underwear. One of those things, again, you run around in your underwear outside, the cops get called. You go do it, one of those things that's acceptable. So I got you distracted. You were talking about charming underclothes. You guys do your shows once a month.
At Schooner's.
At 11 o'clock. Get there early.
And it's $10 for the entire night. Like, that's the cover charge.
What's the alcohol cost?
I don't know. It depends on the alcohol.
So it's not all inclusive?
No. But if you do want to join cast, I mean, they do take care of us.
So what you're saying is it pays to be on the cast?
It does.
Oh, okay.
Be fully aware. You may have to get most or almost completely naked, depending on who you are in the cast.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Does not appear to be an issue for me.
Okay, so it was July 23rd was your next show?
Yes,
okay,
July 23rd.
July 23rd. Starts at 11 p.m. at
Schooner's Bar.
Schooner's Bar here in Roanoke. Make sure to go check them out. It is a lot of fun. Even without the underwear run, it is a lot of fun. How did you become involved with the Charming Underclothes here in Roanoke?
I had been a part of a cast up north in Fairfax. You were the Transylvania Concubines.
I think I remember you posting stuff from that when you were back home for a while.
And I heard they were doing it for Mysticon, and I was still up north. I hadn't moved down back to Roanoke yet. So I was like, well, I'll try out for maybe Rocky, because it's not a super... hard part or one of the extras. I drive down here, I auditioned, and they said, well, can you try for Janet? I'd actually just recently become Janet in my other cast. I auditioned and I got it. I didn't want to become Janet because I would have to make a 3-hour drive pretty much every month.
Right.
But I managed it, so... And it was fun.
How did you, I guess, conversely, how did you become firstly involved, I guess, with the Transylvania one?
I had seen it so many times, and I was like, this is what I want to do. I got backstage, first started off as props, and then became an extra, and we were low on people for, like, Janet and Columbia, and they're like, they asked me, did you want to be Columbia or did you want to be Janet? Because we're in dire need of those. And I said, sure. Well, apparently one weekend our Janet called out and I was basically thrown into the role. And that's how I became Janet. I've kind of stuck with the role and I like it.
How did you get involved with Rocky Horror Picture Show in the beginning?
In, like, general?
Yeah.
It was my 18th birthday. One of my friends from college who lived near me said, hey, come join me and see this show. I didn't know what to expect at all. So I went in this completely blind. I wore, because it was close to Halloween, I wore a Halloween costume, and they basically had all the virgins stand up and get up to the front.
And you have a balloon sheep.
Yeah, and that's where the fucking of the sheep involved there. That was fun.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
I'm glad that my parents listen to this show. That's good. Yay. Make sure you get your parents to listen to
this. Hi, Mom and Dad.
Hi, Brittany's parents.
Yeah, my parents know I do this. And my dad has seen pictures.
But never been to a show.
Because, yeah. He doesn't really like to see me in my underwear doing dances on guys in the audience.
Right.
So
that would kind of points me towards the next question I had. Since you are Janet now, you spend a good portion of the show on stage running around in bra and I guess panties, for lack of a better word.
Pretty much, yeah.
Was that difficult at first to be able to kind of overcome? Again, because I have not done the underwear run because I'm not comfortable with the idea of being in my underwear around hundreds of strangers sorts of things. And their focus not really focused on me as to where you're on stage.
Actually, it wasn't, because I've acted before in college where you kind of have to strip down and put another costume on,
right,
and it doesn't matter who sees.
That would be backstage. So definitely a little bit slightly different. But
yeah,
maybe
it was
not
slightly
for
different, but it didn't really matter to me. I was kind of really comfortable already with the fact of just being in my underwear in front of tons of people.
Definitely, I guess it would be a prerequisite for the job.
Yeah, you'd have to be really comfortable in your skin.
Yeah. Since I will probably never see her again, I will be comfortable mentioning this. The lady that did Rocky for the Tulsa Badness show,
mm-hmm.
I think wore a very small pair of panties and I think pasties. Never have I wanted a pasty to fall off as much as I did at that show. So yeah. It's definitely something, I guess, you have to be a little more comfortable in your skin than definitely I am.
Yeah.
So I was definitely kind of curious as to how you felt along getting along those lines of things.
I think it's a little bit tougher for guys, especially if you have a guy playing Rocky and or Brad. Because, first of all, you have to be in fishnets, garters, high heels, and a corset. And run around and dance and everything.
Right.
Which means that my friend Chris Smith, a guy that we go to cons with and at Dragon Con, was in corset and all this other stuff. He needs to play the part of Brad.
Or Rocky.
Well, if you're going to put the corset on, you might as well do...
or Frank.
Yeah, if you can pull off the corset, you might as well do Frank and Frank.
I think watching him being uncomfortable as Brad would be hilarious. Hi, Chris!
Women will probably throw themselves at you if you go around dressed like Dr. Frankenfurter to a con.
Actually, yeah.
By the by, just throwing that out.
Self-confidence is huge.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Especially if you have good makeup.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you're going to be Dr. Frankfurter, you have to have the makeup, too. All right, next kind of off the, stemming off the underwear on stage question, if you feel like you can convey it, what is the creepiest thing or strangest thing you have had happen to you during one of your shows? Again, seeing how you're on stage in your underwear, it would seem to invite sort of unwanted advances from people or general creepiness.
I have had a guy try and bomb rush the stage. And it was mostly females just on stage at that point in time. Thankfully, we had security. You kind of just ushered him back to his seat. But you do get those drunks and those creepers who are just ogling everything. But you kind of have to deal with it. We do have a rule which follows burlesque rules. You may not touch the actors, but we may be able to touch you.
There was a thing when I went and saw my first show at the theater in Norfolk. At the end of the show, they made an announcement, and there's something along the lines of, and if anyone wants to have sex with the cast, come up to the stage. And I was, we're just kind of like, ah, ha, 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 that's hilarious. And one of my friends later talked to one of the cast members, and they're like, no, no, apparently that was a thing with the show. People would just come up, and they would go off somewhere. So is that, do you run into that, anything along those lines?
Usually,
now, I haven't heard that announcement in the last couple of shows I've seen.
Usually, it's just used as a joke. I don't know if I've ever seen an audience member just kind of run off with one of the cast members, but it may be possible. I don't know.
Wow. Again, people are all running around in their underwear, so it's entirely possible. Hey,
whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, again, it's a show about, you know, freeing your inhibitions sort of thing, so. Why not, I guess.
The 1970s at your best?
Yeah, pretty much.
What goes into doing a shadowcast? You kind of hit on this before. You said you have to come and do... You don't want to be Janet because you have to come down and do rehearsals once a month. What kind of goes into... Because you'd be like, oh, you just get up on stage and you do it with the movie sort of thing.
You definitely have to learn the part. You have to watch the movie multiple times. Because you have to be as screen accurate as possible. It's almost ridiculous. There's also the costuming that you have to be involved with to make it look pretty similar. My Janet dress is not exactly how hers is. I actually have to kind of pull it down instead of like over my head or vice versa. So it's pretty much learning the part, you know, as much as you possibly can and keeping the screen accuracy and not looking at the screen, because then people will go like, this kind of sucks. But when you do the little like motions, like when Janet's eating a candy bar and she offers it to Brad in the car before their car breaks down, that's something that's, you know, just one of those little moments that kind of really brings the shadow cast to life.
Right.
Props as well kind of also help, because there's the sex scenes in the show where we have the sheet to kind of just give the silhouettes of the character. So it's not also just about being screen accurate. It's also about sight gags as well.
Right, yeah.
Because you'll, like, be pulling giant anal beads out of someone's ass or stuff like that.
I can't remember what scene it was, whether it was Frankenfurter or Brad or whatever. Yeah. One of the scenes behind the sheet, they're just pulling stuff out.
Yeah, they're just pulling random stuff out.
Right.
Things that would make funny shadows. I think one time we had a sword pull out of a Brad's ass, and lobsters pulled out of Janet. So it's also trying to make the audience laugh as well as, you know, improv.
Right. Yes. No. I don't care that my neighbor's here.
But Buffalo Bill is walking by, which just sparked the idea. What about shadow casting Silence of the Lambs?
No.
There have been other shadow casts. I have been in a Repo, the Genetic Opera shadow cast.
Oh,
which
fun.
Is pretty fun.
But
lots of killing.
I just could only imagine, you know, like somebody trying to do the fava beans moment with Clarice. You know, you've got Anthony Hopkins behind you doing it, and then you're sitting there going...
All right, I am running empty.
I'm empty. It's time to
take a quick break.
And refresh.
We'll come back here in a minute with Brittany.
Okay, breaking.
You want deep freshies? You want toothbrushies?
So we're back.
We're back for our drinks are refreshed.
Yeah, drinks are refreshed. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Trail Angel Weiss. Weiss. By Devil's Backbone up in near Charlottesville. It's I love Devil's Backbone stuff. So.
Cool. I have Stateside Saison, an American farmhouse ale from Stillwater Artisanal out of Pennsylvania, I think. Nope. Brooklyn, New York? That can't be right.
You've had this thing on the table for like 5 minutes. You couldn't have looked at it before now?
Oh, no. It's bottled in Stratford, Connecticut. And it's marketed by Brooklyn, New York. I mean, you don't think of breweries in Brooklyn.
Generally not, no.
No. You think of Brooklyn. I mean, it's Brooklyn. Let's just go ahead and alienate, you know, New York City.
Yes, while nice. We're at let's it. Do that too. Great, thanks.
Because, hey.
Hey, buddy. No jumping on the table.
Because that's what we like to do. We like to alienate whole segments of our of the United States, and potentially turn them off as members of our audience.
Correct. So, Rocky Horror Shadowcast, the group here in Roanoke is called Charming Underclothes. They do monthly shows now.
Yep.
For the time being, out of Schooner's Bar.
Yes.
Here in Roanoke. You said the what time does the burlesque start? Do you know?
The cabaret starts, I think, at 7, ends around 10:30, 10:45. Then the pre-show starts at 11, and runs till about 1:30.
Okay. Yeah, what did you think? You made a face.
No, it's, I just took a sip of the Trail Angel. It's good. It's I didn't. It's a Bavarian.
Bavarian.
It's a Bavarian style Weiss. Which, as soon as I took a sip, I'm like, okay, that's yep. Okay, it's good. That's what I assumed it tasted like.
And don't you dare insult Bavaria.
No, it's good. I just took a sip of it, and that's what I assumed it was, and it was
it's the Fatherland. You know yeah. that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Come across this table. Let's make reason number two for me to come across the table today, because earlier we were having this discussion about Star Wars Episode 8, and Richard here couldn't remember that Rey was, you know, like Rey. One of the main, you know,
cast remember members. The character's name. Yes.
So deeply you. Disappointed.
Rocky Horror. 11 o'clock, starts at 7:30 at Schooner's. Brittany, our guest, performs as
Janet Weiss.
Damn it, Janet.
Yep.
Damn it, Janet. I've been meaning to yell slut at you for the whole show and I keep forgetting.
Yeah. You get to yell slut at me.
Yep.
The entire time.
An asshole.
Yep, for Brad.
For Brad. One of the audience participation things. Yeah, go and check it out. I said if you haven't gone to a Shadowcast, it's a lot of fun. If you've gone to a Shadowcast, you know it's a lot of fun. We have a group here in Roanoke that's doing it now. Make sure you go out and support them so we can have them keep coming back and doing it. So we can have this thing around.
I just realized we kind of sound like the, the demonic version of NPR. So today we're going to talk about these things on NPR that are highly important, but nobody's doing lines of coke off a dead stripper.
Yeah, see, there's the NPR stage.
Not that there's a dead stripper in the in the studio.
Yes, no, not so much anymore.
10 I mean, minutes ago, maybe.
Did not deny that there was coke here, though.
All right, so thank you very much for coming.
No problem.
It's certainly a delight to have you. We'll certainly remain for the remainder of the show.
No, you must leave right now.
Leave. Get out of here.
Fine. Yeah. Flip the table.
Peace out, bitches.
No, we're gonna try something kind of new so that we don't have any rambling, mainly on my part.
Yes, we're gonna try something new. Well, we are going to try a sort of rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Thank you for blowing out everyone's speakers.
Did you ever listen to Calls for Cthulhu on YouTube?
No.
Oh, you need to listen to that. It's the puppet version of Cthulhu, and he's doing like this call-in show. So it's like a call-in radio kind of making fun of like Laura Ingraham and Rush Limbaugh and all those guys.
Okay. They're coming and, for us.
Yes. The Black Helicopters. Black Helicopters heard us mention the Necronomicon in the break, and now they're here. So anyways, Calls for Cthulhu is really funny. I encourage you to watch. They're like 11 or 12 episodes now on YouTube. But there's a segment where the first time they introduce it, it's, you know, rapid fire round. And there's like these graphics and everything. And Cthulhu's like, whoa, what's that? What are you doing? Because it's like, and he yells at Tim, who is like the producer. And then like, it's become a continuing joke in the show. Like whenever they do the rapid fire round, the graphics and the sound effects become more explosive until it gets to one episode. Cthulhu has like this pained like expression, and he's like, all right, well, we have to do the rapid fire round. And he throws his arms out to the sides and he's looking around waiting for the graphics. And he's like, oh, well, I guess we think we're safe here. And it's rapid fire round! So we need maybe explosive graphics. Or maybe throw in some explosions or something, Producer Thomas, for the rapid fire segment.
Okay, well, that was our rapid fire segment. We're never doing that again. All right, no, yeah, we're gonna try a rapid fire segment.
Rapid fire.
I'm going to kill you. With this
game. Oh, okay, no. I'll take it seriously now. okay, yes.
So, right. We are going to set aside 10 minutes for topics of discussion, and that is the 10 minutes of discussion period. 10 minutes for you, 10 minutes, not 10 minutes for you, 10 minutes for me. 10 minutes period of discussion. We both have to share.
10 minutes period.
Or all have to share. 10 minutes period. Once that 10 minutes is up, we will stop the conversation, move on to the next topic.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Sound effect?
We have discussed our three topics of conversation previously. Which one would you prefer to do first?
Well, I think we should handle the conspiratards for this Orlando thing.
The Orlando thing, the shooting at the Pulse Club.
Yes, which was last Sunday. Terrible.
All right, timer start.
Timing is start. All right, one, terrible atrocity. I hate using the word tragedy for that because it's not a tragedy. This isn't like a hurricane or something. This was an atrocity committed by a guy who was warped by, you know, an ideology that hates us for even existing.
We can debate that, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, he was on the phone calling in, pledging his allegiance to ISIS, so...
Again, I get that's debatable. I would say he was also... It's entirely possible that he was a self-loathing...
I think that's definitely a component to it, but...
Self-loathing gay man. I think that that's... I think his pledge to allegiance to ISIS was more an act of convenience rather than him being depicted as a self-loathing... He didn't want to admit that he was a self-loathing gay man. It was much easier for him to say, I'm going to go do this as a member of ISIS, not
I'm trying to
stamp out this part of myself.
I would say you were correct in that, with the exception that he also was canvassing downtown Disney.
Yeah, okay. And I will agree with that. It is a possibility. There could be some combination there.
I think it's very likely it's a combination. Like, this was a target of... This was a huge temptation in his life. He was trying to reject that he had these feelings. He found an ideology that, you know, tells him that if you kill the non-believer or the infidel or whatever, you go to heaven. And so he's looking at his own sins and he's like, well, if I embrace this ideology and I go in and I kill these people, I get to go to heaven, I get my 72 virgins and whatever. So I think it was a combination of things, but still, the emphasis should be that this was an ideological thing combined. It may be more complex, but there's still an ideology out there that continues to self-radicalize these people. You know, it's not just him. It's the guy in Chattanooga. It's the Army major. It's the people out in San Bernardino. You know, this is a continuing thing where self-radicalized Americans are continuing to do these acts against other Americans.
Quick thing. He likes to go on, so if you have something to say, just jump in, Brittany.
Okay.
Does that count as part of the 10 minutes?
Yes.
Damn it!
Okay. 10 minutes period.
All right.
So yeah, if you have something, just jump in. It's the easiest way to get through.
All right, you're taking up our 10 minutes.
No, I'm making a filibuster for like 3 or 4 minutes.
Well,
I will say also, the fact that he, when he was in the bathroom, I was reading an article or listening to an article about, he was asking if there were any African Americans in the bathroom with him and said he wasn't going to kill them because they had it hard enough. I think if he was in there killing people for ISIS, he wouldn't be pardoning specific people. I think he'd be killing anyone he can get within range of.
But he didn't. I mean, the people who were killed were across all the races. They were across all the sexes. So he may have said something at that point, but it didn't stop him from firing into a crowd.
Right, right. You start firing into a crowd like that, you're not really going to be selective about it.
And now we're finding out that he's made repeated phone calls from this, and he was talking about, you know, kind of his motives. So we're going to probably find out a lot more about this guy as time goes on and the investigation moves to a post-investigation. But one thing I really, really wanted to bring up, the bodies weren't even cold. And you had the conspiracy theory guys out there running around saying it was a false flag, it didn't happen, or it was a bunch of crisis actors, or all of the, and I'm talking like guys like Alex Jones.
Well,
and
these Alex Jones lives to thrive off of these types of situations.
But he's got an audience of millions of people.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. These people believe that, you know, that this didn't actually happen, or that it was all some kind of government conspiracy to, kill gay people and they come after our guns or something.
Real quick, I think for anyone, I don't know if we've talked about crisis actors before, if anyone is not aware, there's like the conspiracy theory that they're actually just like a selection of actors or whatever that are at these different...
They like to point to this one photograph of a woman that is generic brunette, and they say, well, you can see her at everything from Colorado to
Sandy Hook.
San Bernardino, Sandy Hook, stuff. We're going to do a segment on crisis actors, I think, in the future, because hell, that shooting that happened out at the lake, you know, there are people who are claiming that they never happened. Those were all crisis actors, even though both you and I knew these newscasters because they've been a part of our local news for years. So,
5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Rapid fire round.
So there's a conspiracy theory out, not even
multiple.
Not even hours after this had occurred.
Yeah, almost as soon as the news comes out, there are these people who are rushing to blame the government or the New World Order or the Jews or you name it, you know, in the conspiracy circles, you know, that came out almost right away. And it really is, to me, I think, deeply disturbing that our trust, that societal trust allows or has degraded to a point where millions of people in our country believe fervently that either it didn't happen or it was all put up to by the government.
Well, to be fair, there probably is some degradation of trust there. Did you have anything to add? Sorry.
No.
Okay.
I'm just enjoying my drink.
There is probably some degradation of trust there, and we've covered that before with the Adam Sandler show. We talked about that degradation of trust. Go ahead.
I would say that trust in society, or trust in the American government, we haven't really covered this, but you know, you see poll after poll, and it's in the tanks, where people do not necessarily trust the government. You look at like
poll
Congress.
Data.
Well, you look at Congress, and it has an approval rating of, 19%? You know, the government as a whole has a dismal approval rating. So you can see where the trust in the government is down. And because of that trust, these conspiracy theories take hold right away.
part of that too, I would say, yes, the trust was there, or the lack of trust is there. I would also say there are people that are also willing, unwilling to accept, or more willing to accept that this person was part of a larger scheme.
Yeah.
Of the whole. They don't want to believe that, you know, I can go out to Chipotle down the corner and not come back ever again.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. They don't want to accept that that's the world that they live in. So they then choose to believe in a wider world where this was some sort of choreographed attack rather than just a random event by a very sick individual.
Well, the problem, though, and this is where it kind of falls back to, was this a wider... You had ISIS tweeting 3 days before the attack that they were going to strike in Florida.
Well,
the guy seemed to be in contact with the, you know, we're learning now that there are all these red flags that this guy should have been on the FBI radar, should have probably been pulled in as part of an investigation.
Well, and he was.
They let him go
because they couldn't find any evidence if
they linked
to.
They didn't at the time, but you had his employer not.
Sorry, yeah, 2 minutes.
You had his employer not acting on what his coworkers were saying because they were fearing that they would get hit with a lawsuit for discrimination because he was of the Muslim faith. So, you know, we hear this see something, say something, but we're finding out after these attacks that people are seeing things, but they don't want to be labeled a racist, so they're not saying anything.
How much of that is in hindsight, too?
Well, yeah, some of that might be in hindsight, but other times when you've got things like the gun store he first tried to buy weapons from, they turned him away. They said he was suspicious, and they reported him to the FBI. So what is going on there? You know, I know we have like 50 seconds. I think we just need to really examine what can the government do better? What should it be doing better? And realize that in reality, there's very little you can do to stop these kinds of attacks.
And I think that's kind of why people are grasping onto that wider conspiracy theory. It's just the idea that these things are so hard to stop and predict that it's frightening to them.
They would rather believe that there's some grand overall scheme. 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
Some grand overall scheme that's controlling all this rather than it's just random fate of life.
Right.
And there we are.
Brittany, 8 seconds.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. All right. Well, we still have 4 seconds.
That's our 10 minutes.
All right. That was 10 minutes. First 10 minutes.
Yes. All right. So we're going on to our next topic. We're going to talk the election. Huzzah. Should always be a good topic for you and I. We have the two. Whoops. Start the timer. We have the two nominees. Presumptive, I guess, and Hillary Clinton.
The two presumptive nominees. Neither of them have actually been accepted by their parties yet because neither convention has gone by.
We're going to see some Republican just kind of show up on the stage and behead
Donald Trump,
and then the quickening
would
happens.
That not be the best option?
There can
for the
be
Republican?
Only one.
Oh, that would be great. I would love to see the candidates come out with swords.
He falls apart like dust, and his wig is there, and they just put on his wig.
There could
be only one Trump.
I don't know. My feeling on the elections is, dear God, how did we get to this point?
I guess technically, I haven't paid attention. Gary Johnson, I guess, is also in the running.
Gary Johnson is polling above 12%.
For people that don't know, this is the independent or
Libertarian.
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 Libertarian candidate. I guess there's a Green Party candidate.
There's a Green. Jill Stein. She's polling at like less than 1%.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to the Green Party too much.
But no,
you've
got Gary Johnson now up above 12%. So I
think he'll be a viable. He may not be a serious contender, but I think he will be a viable candidate for people that don't want to vote for Donald Trump
or Hillary Clinton. Because one of the things that they're saying is that he's actually pulling more from Hillary Clinton right now. Now, granted, this was like based a week ago, and you've had a lot of stumbles by Donald Trump in the last week where he's insulted, you know, Mexican people. He's a further insulting with the ongoing court case that he's got going on. But then he went out and he insulted veterans and people who participated in the Iraq War, because he was like, oh, well, they were freeloading off of the government. And you know, just some other missteps that he's made. And it seems that he's, you know, his poll numbers have plummeted. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton is enjoying the bump from winning.
Right, getting their main competitor knocked out. Not main competitor.
Well, he's still semi out of the race.
And at this point, it's semantics.
Of course, the problem she has is that the FBI investigation that's going on into her seems to be gaining more and more ground, because they're pulling in all of her aides now. They've offered immunity to the person who handled her server. They extradited the guy who hacked her server and have offered him immunity to testify. So, and then you've got the Russian government saying, well, we hacked her server too, and we're going to release the documentation. So you clearly have an outside government who's getting ready to try and influence the American political.
I don't really see that going well, though. I don't really see outside government in trying to influence our election really not being
yes,
in her
but if
favor.
if they release her emails, it becomes
but it's
pretty
from
clear
Russia.
Cut.
I don't think there are a lot of people that are necessarily going to believe that Russia is going to have our best interest in their favor.
True, but if they had her emails, then it goes to the very core of the problem. That she was utilizing an unsecured email server to transmit classified information, which is a felony, and thus she can't run for government.
Yeah,
she's out. She has to be investigated. She has to go through the legal process. So then you've got a situation where the Republican candidate is alienating the Republican Party, and you've got a Democratic candidate who very likely could end up in prison. So
it does amuse me how desperately you all are clinging to that.
Whoa, don't.
Sorry, not you all.
I plan on voting for
you
Gary
all,
Johnson.
As in the anti-Hillary Clinton.
Well,
components.
Why would you vote for her? She's not a good person.
Says you.
Says a lot of people. Her favorability ratings are only slightly below where Trump's are. And that's saying something. Both of the candidates.
Is it saying something in?
Yeah, it really does.
June?
I mean,
okay.
Well, I mean, think about it.
Where both people were just voting for Bernie Sanders.
Both of these people should have fairly mid-level to high favorability ratings because they have knocked their contenders out. But instead, they
secured the enough delegates, maybe by a week, 2 weeks.
Two
There's
weeks
still
so
going to be
is,
some,
two weeks
some
is
sour
a long
grapes from the Bernie Sanders supporters.
But 2 weeks is a long time in the political season.
You can say something.
But the other thing...
Real quick. Did you want to say something? You looked like you were kind of leaning forward like you wanted to say something. Okay.
Right. But in the political she's seen as unfavorable by independents as well, who deeply mistrust her. So, you know, both parties are going to have hard time getting to where they need to be in November.
I'm not saying there's not going to be easy sailing. No, I mean,
this will be
a topic that you and I disagree on several times until November, probably even after November.
I mean, well, you know, we're both on very different wavelengths in terms of where the American government needs to be in our lives. But the thing is how did we get to an election where both parties raced to the bottom? Both the major political parties raced to the bottom, so much so that both their candidates have very high unfavorability ratings. Maybe it's time to just blow the two-party system up and be done with it. We need to break up the major parties and...
I would disagree.
Why?
I would think that splintering the parties into where you get major factions, like what you get with the Tea Partiers and the Congress, where their ideas are that the government needs to have a lesser stature or a lesser.
They really do.
So they're trying to snowball as much as they can.
I
would agree.
What you're
I would
saying.
Say that's probably one of the reasons that Congress has such a low favorability, because shit isn't getting done partially because these people are in there is simply because they're trying to gum up the works.
But wasn't that what they were voted in to do?
Well, still, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily a good thing. And that's what I'm trying to say. Just because there is a small progression of people that believe a certain way doesn't mean that it's
the best for the country. Because they won a majority. They won a majority in the House.
The Republicans did, not the Tea Partiers.
But they're driving the party. Or are they really?
Debatable.
I mean, let's be honest.
I would argue the Tea Party is pretty much dead at this point.
I don't know that they are dead. I think they're definitely different from where the original Tea Party was. You know, the original Tea Party drew from both parties. Because it was... No. Hold on. The original Tea Party, the very original one, were the ones who objected to high taxes and a continued ever-growing presence of government in their lives. It got very quickly hijacked by the right wing, the right wing of the Republican Party, with the help of the media. Because there were plenty of Democrats who objected to the ACA, which is what birthed the Tea Party movement. I mean, the guy who arguably called it, you know, Santelli on CNBC, he's not a Republican. And the original people, you know, the original Tea Party rallies were very multi-party. They drew from the Green Party. They drew from the Libertarian Party. They drew from the Republican Party. They drew from the Democratic Party.
Somehow always we go back to ACA stuff when we talk about politics.
But the ACA is one of the major landmark pieces of legislation that's happened in the last 10 years.
Let's drag it back real quick. Mm-hmm. The upcoming election.
Yeah.
We are going to see the nominations. We have the three contenders. Do you see? I guess I haven't paid attention to Gary Johnson's stuff. Has he got the nomination? Is he planning?
Plan on seeing him? He did. He secured the nomination of the Libertarian Party, and his vice presidential candidate with him is Bill Weld, which I think was the governor of New Hampshire. Gary Johnson, for those who don't know who he was governor of New Mexico.
Okay.
So they both have held executive positions at the state level. Gary Johnson is a little bit more known on the national level. So is this a year that they have more of a chance? You know, certainly he's polling above 12% now.
Are we expecting to see him in the debates, those sorts of things?
Well, he had to, I think, break 15% for the major networks to say, yes, you're up on the stage. But frankly, I think he needs to be on there.
30 seconds.
Yeah.
Brittany? She keeps shaking her head. No. We're going to start poking her with the sticks if she'll start talking. Okay. So, yeah, we'll see. I guess the conventions are here soon, yeah? July?
Yeah, I think those are going to be a real shit show.
Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I think some of them are the Democratic fervor will die down, I hope. We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We'll see. All right, and on to the next topic.
Okay. All right, so we're going to talk about the Olympics?
Yes, third topic.
All right, talking about the Olympics. The Olympics are going to be a shit show.
We are completely in agreement about this.
I can't. Let's just list the ways that this is already a shit show. You look at the Olympics are in Rio de Janeiro.
Brazil, yeah.
Or in Brazil. The city has already stated that they're bankrupt.
This was fairly recent, I think.
Yeah, this was like just the other day. They were like, oh, we're completely out of money. Well, we just gave you billions upon billions of dollars to put on the Olympics, and how are you out of this money? Oh, wait, the government of Brazil, the socialist government of Brazil under Lula, just fell. She has been impeached. What is it for? Public bribery. So where's that money gone? It went into her pockets, and it went into the cronies of her political cronies' pockets. So, yeah, there's a reason why Brazil's bankrupt, or at least the city is bankrupt.
And that would be another topic for concern would be the fact that the government has gone to a...
Just fell?
Right, yeah. Their president was impeached.
Their president was impeached. It was a lawful falling, as opposed to what's going on next door in Venezuela, which is the country devolving into revolution and probably civil war. That should be fun to watch.
I think I saw something about the number of people applying for visas from Venezuela are second only to China in the United States. Like, people are fleeing Venezuela now and trying to come to the United States.
And we should turn them around and send them right back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You built that mess.
Nope.
Fucking deal with it.
Nope. Olympics, Brazil.
Yeah, well, no, this, I mean, so the Olympics. The other thing, you've got Zika going on down there.
And there was actually, go ahead.
I mean, whatever. Zika is, for most people, a headache, you know, or it's a mild case of the flu. There are some birth defects which we still aren't quite sure, quite certain on. Is it caused by the virus, or is it being caused by the response to the virus? Because when you had the outbreak of Zika in the Federated States of Micronesia a couple years ago, there were no cases of microcephaly associated with it. So, but one of the things that they're doing in Brazil and in South America is they're using a certain kind of pesticide, and they're just dumping it into the water supply. Now, is the cases of microcephaly, is that coming from the pesticide that they're dumping into the water, or is it being caused by the disease?
Right.
And I think some studies need to be done there to...
Right. Well, and there was a biker. I can't remember his name. I'll try to see if I can link the article when we get the show posted. There was a cyclist, not a biker, a cyclist, I think, that actually opted out of going to the Olympics because he was worried about infecting his wife. He's either pregnant or they wanted to get pregnant or something along those lines.
Well, Zika can be passed, sexually. Right. Pretty much any virus can.
Right.
It's just, you know, once it's in your bloodstream, it's in your bloodstream. So, well, you know, semen, sperm, those, you know, they draw on the same genetic material, so yeah, you can pass it sexually.
Right. You mentioned the water. Producer Thomas was talking to us earlier. There has been numerous articles about people that have been coming into practice
and getting sick
in the water, getting sick in the water. I think he said rowers.
The water quality down there sucks.
Yeah, and that you if you were paying attention, if you managed to hear, they were basically, you know, articles about just sewage running into the water that they were going to be using for these Olympic events.
Brazil is one of those countries where they're not quite a developed country. I mean, they are, but they're not quite a third world country. You know, there are very large cases of, well, let's just pour raw sewage into the streams because fuck it, it's going to go downstream and wash the dirty people downstream. But yet they're also one of the major economic powers. You know, they're part of the BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, China. So these are the five nations that are seen as up and coming powers. So you've got that going on. But in addition to, you know, kind of the water quality or whatever, the third world country status, Brazil's not above using death squads to clear their streets. They have a huge problem with homeless people in the streets, street children and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And one of the things that comes out of that is prostitution. And so,
which you've heard about, I mean, you've heard about it before, like the human trafficking and prostitution, so it will always spike.
Well, Olympic events. I mean, they don't even have to bother with the human trafficking point. They could just go down the street and pick up 20 kids that are living on the street.
Right.
So what we have seen in the past and what is suspected is going on now is that the Brazilian police will round up these street children and these street people, and they'll take them out into the jungle and they'll shoot them into a trench to make them go away. And we've certainly, you know, they do this kind of periodically, like, you know, oh, the street populations have gotten too high, so we'll go through and sweep the neighborhood and catch up as many people as we can, and we'll just take them out and we'll just shoot them.
Right.
And that's kind of du jour down there. So we've given a country who's got a failed presidency, is in the midst of a public health crisis, and all kinds of other issues. Oh, and they Russia. Have a human rights issue.
Right, and Russia, just yesterday it was announced that the Russia track and field team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Russian track and field team was accused of doping, and they're out now.
Are they out?
I didn't remember. Yeah, they're out. The IOC, IOCC kicked them out.
Okay.
So they're not allowed to participate.
I haven't been keeping real close track. I knew they were being under investigation. It was up for suggestion, but I didn't know they'd actually been kicked out.
So I mean,
I saw some responses, so I thought it was just the initial report. I didn't realize they had been banned already.
You know, we remember the East German women's swimming team, and they all had like unibrows and very butch looking women, you know. So the Russians or the Soviets, how the socialist countries of Eastern Europe were not above doping their athletes back then. That the Russians have gone back to that, or if they ever even stopped doing that, yeah, come on, it's the, you know, change the. Try changing the spots on a leopard. The Soviets are Soviets.
Right, yeah, I agree. I think I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more of an mass exodus. And you kind of have to really wonder, once people get those Olympic spots, or on the spots of the big teams, you know, they probably don't really want to give them up.
Of course. Here's the other question. Why does anybody care about the Olympics anymore?
I mean, it's fun to watch. I don't really get too terribly involved, but it is fun to watch on TV. I enjoy watching them.
You know, back when we were kids, and the Olympics happened every 4 years, the summer and winter Olympic Games always happened.
Can see your argument. I'm pretty sure it just boils down to you're getting old.
No.
Back in my day.
Yo, but what I'm saying, though,
we had pride in the Olympics. Well, these kids today.
No, we had pride because there was a war of superpowers going on. So it was West versus East.
You're not disproving what I was claiming.
Well, there is some of that. But there was West versus East, and there was national prestige kind of wrapped up into it. Nowadays, it's just one of a number of other entertainments for people to choose from.
It was a couple of years ago when they had the Winter Olympics, when it was like the United States versus Canada for like the hockey thing. I had a lot of fun giving my Canadian friend crap.
Sure, but that's...
And we lost, and I was like, freaking damn it. Really? You couldn't pull it out, guys? Now I have to.
But that's just hockey. Come on. I mean, that's...
Toothless Canadians are going to come beat the crap out of you.
Politely, though. But that's normal hockey between the United States and Canada every year, every hockey season. So,
our hat.
I mean, what's so special about the Olympics?
Yeah, I would just agree. I meant to certainly not be there as far as what it was, but again, I will still claim the old man syndrome there.
Whatever, man. Whatever.
You're a good, like,
not that
five,
old.
5 years away from sitting on your porch with a shotgun.
Oh, I can't wait to be sitting on my porch with a shotgun shooting at kids as they go by.
Drinking beer. Get off my lawn!
Now, mind you, when I'm shooting at the kid, it's only rock salt. So, you know, I mean, even if I hit them, it would only sting a little. But, yeah. Get off my lawn!
Okay. That's the end of our
rapid fire round.
That was the end of our rapid fire. Let us know how it went, guys. I think it went well, but let us know how you like it, if you like it or not. We'll continue to consider this as far as our discussion topics.
And we're still going to set fire to whatever during the elections.
Yeah.
No, we are. Seriously, that has to happen.
Yeah, that's just going to ramp up, guys. Sorry.
Okay,
it's coming. Thank you very much again for coming. We appreciate having you.
Yep.
Charming Underclothes does their shows once a month at Schooners.
Do you guys have like a Facebook page?
We do have a Facebook page. It's just Charming Underclothes. We also have a website, but you can find that through the Facebook page.
We'll throw it up on Facebook and Twitter when we get the show posted. Yep. July 23rd.
July 23rd.
Is your next show at Schooners.
Yes.
And you will be Janet.
I will be Janet.
Damn it, Janet.
Weiss.
Damn it, Janet.
I will be performing under the stage name Wednesday Morning.
That's right. You told me that.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for coming into the show today. And it was a pleasure having you on here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to
This Is What We Drink. Please remember to rate us on iTunes, on Google Play. Yeah. Whatever you listen to, please remember to rate us. Email us, give us feedback. Like I said, let us know what you thought about the rapid fire segment.
Rapid fire!
If your ears are bleeding from Phil's yelling. let us know how we're doing, guys. We love hearing, give us emails. We love the emails we got from you guys.
And seriously, you guys really need to watch Call of Cthulhu on YouTube. You will get that joke, and you'll be sitting there going, oh my god, I don't understand why I hadn't watched this before. But again, thanks for listening to us.
Yes.
And
I'm Richard.
I'm Phil.
This is why we drink.
This is why we drink. That really was an unsatisfying clink.
I have a can.
No more cans.
It doesn't really clink very well.
Have a good one. This is Phil, and this is why we drink. Follow us on Facebook at This Is Why We Drink Podcast, and on Twitter at Why We Drink Cast, or at our website, whywedrink.org. You can email us questions, comments, or corrections to whywedrinkpodcast@gmail.com. Intro and exit music is Morrison's Jig, Leslie's March, performed by Aislinn, which is licensed through Creative Commons. Visit our website for further licensing information, whywedrink.org.